I'm now joined by Rich Kerner, Senior ETF Sales Specialist at Touchstone Investments, who back in July, just a couple of months ago, they entered the ETF space with a launch of the Touchstone Strategic Opportunities ETF, ticker SIO. They quickly followed that up with a launch of three additional ETFs, which we'll get into. So four ETFs in all, already nearly $200 million in assets, by the way. And Rich is now on the line with me. Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Nate, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
All right. So as I usually like to do, let's start with a little background, because I'm guessing some of our listeners are unfamiliar with Touchstone Investments. Just give us a quick snapshot of who you are and why you decided to get involved with ETFs.
Sure. No, thanks. So Touchstone Investments has been around since 1994. We've got about $25 billion in assets under management. With the addition, as you just mentioned, of our four ETFs, we now have 36 mutual funds and ETFs. Our model is, we think, unique. We work exclusively with institutional sub-advisors. We currently partner with 14 different sub-advisors to manage those 36 funds and ETFs. Almost half of those that are eligible for a track record, 13 of them are 4 and 5 star funds. I think it's a great story that sometimes folks, haven't heard. We are owned by Western and Southern, which is a Fortune 400 mutual life insurance company headquartered in Cincinnati as well. That's been around since 1888. So we've got a very strong parent that's really committed to the ETF business and being invested in the ETF business. And so the reason we got into ETFs is we've, just like everyone else, we've seen this, incredible flows into the ETFs. We know from an asset management distribution standpoint, we want to have not only mutual funds, but also ETFs for our clients to use. And certainly we're excited to bring our unique brand of active management, distinctively active, to the ETF wrapper.
Your collaboration with sub-advisors definitely jumped off the page at me as I was looking at Touchstone. Why do you like that model? I know the goal here is to partner with best-in-class managers to sub-advise funds. What do you see as the value of doing that?
Well, it's the way we've always done it. So when we started in 1994, one of our first partners was Westfield Capital Management, still one of our partners today. We just really believe that it's hard for one asset manager to be the very best in all the categories. It's hard to be a great large cap value manager and also a great large cap growth manager. And then, oh, by the way, what about small and mid caps and then international? And, the list goes on and on. So when you're partnering with, best-in-class institutional money managers who really have demonstrated long-term success in implementing truly active strategies, we think it's a great model. And oftentimes, advisors and investors aren't able to typically access a lot of these institutional money managers. So, again, hard to be great in every asset class, and we think this model really, really works well to give you a competitive lineup across all asset classes.
Okay, so I noted at the top the Touchstone Strategic Opportunities ETF, ticker SIO. Let me tee up the other three products here. So there's the Touchstone Dividend Select ETF, ticker DVND, the Touchstone U.S. Large Cap Focused ETF, ticker LCF, and then the Touchstone Ultra Short Income ETF, ticker TUSI. And certainly feel free to delve into any of these in detail, but I'd love to hear more about why these particular strategies coming out of the gate. Why these four ETFs?
Sure. No, great question. All four of these products are managed by Fort Washington Investment Advisors, which is also a subsidiary of Western and Southern. Fort Washington manages approximately $80 billion. It's been around since 1990. And I think most important for us, I tell advisors and clients all the time, when you're in Cincinnati and you're on the Touchstone Investments, we're on the 11th floor. Fort Washington Investment Advisors is on the 12th floor. So not only do they have a great long-term track record in each of these asset classes, but when you're launching your first ETFs, it's great to have the connectivity with the folks right upstairs. So that's the reason we went with Fort Washington Investment Advisors to launch our first products.
And do you want to pick an ETF or two to maybe delve into in a bit more detail, just to give listeners an idea in terms of how you're approaching a particular market?
Yeah, sure. So again, all of our strategies are distinctively active. And so I'd love to just spend a minute on distinctively active, and then just kind of talk about the equity and fixed income ETFs that we offer. So folks often ask me, you know, what is distinctively active? And, you know, in its simplest form, active means not passive or not cap-weighted indexing. And our distinctively active strategies are those that we've found have a historical track record of generating alpha and a high active share. And when I think, you know, when I talk to advisors and their clients, I think there's a little bit more of an acceptance for active fixed income as an asset class being able to deliver alpha. But we also think you can find really good active managers on the equity side. And a lot of equity strategies, I know, I think it was on last week's podcast, you were talking about the SPIVA results. You know, a lot of times when you start eliminating closet indexers, or you eliminate, you know, large, you know, bloating, what we call bloating, you know, high AUM that eliminates a portfolio manager's ability to invest in the entire universe, or, you know, just dilution with a lot of, you know, names. When you start eliminating some of those characteristics from the active manager universe, especially on the equity side, you then start to see that, you know, there is a really good track record for active managers. And so on the equity side, we launched two ETFs, as you mentioned. One is large cap focus. This is what I would, you know, simply say is a kind of a moat investment strategy. We're looking to build a portfolio that's made up of businesses that have high sustainable barriers to entry, with also high returns on capital, and to buy these businesses at a discount to their intrinsic value, and kind of own those names for a long period of time. And we think that's a great way to diversify investors' holdings, especially in that large cap space where so many folks tend to just, you know, go to an index. On the dividend side, we're excited not only by the ticker DVND, which we were excited to see was available and out there, but there's not many actively managed dividend strategies. And so what this strategy does, it's actually sector neutral to the S&P 500, so it doesn't take on some of the traditional dividend ETF biases that can be, you know, overweight to utilities and staples and healthcare and some of the other defensive names. And then, you know, as folks have probably seen this year, when you're sector neutral, you're not subject to, you know, perhaps a day like, you know, last week in the market where certain sectors, energy, are really under pressure because of the price of oil. So, you know, growing dividends, having a product where you can, you know, exceed the S&P 500, but not sacrificing, you know, broad capital market exposure by diving into just, you know, one or two, you know, sectors for big overweights, we think is a great way to get dividend exposure, especially in this environment. So that's the story on the equity side. Over on the fixed income side, we've got two products: the ultra short income, probably where we're spending most of our conversations, because I think folks right now are looking for more income. They're looking to shorten up duration. We think this is a great strategy for folks to take a look at. It always has a duration of less than 1 year, currently about 0.6 right now. And we think this fits really well for what we call inside-out investing. These are cash investors who might want a higher yield than what they're currently getting inside their money market fund, so they're willing to take on a little bit more risk. And then the sort of the outside in is folks who are looking at their core bond exposure this year, looking at some negative returns in that area and thinking, okay, I want to shorten up duration, but I don't want to give up income. I don't want to give up my total return. This is a strategy that, when you go back and look at it over time, has actually been able to deliver about 80% of the Barclays Ag with about 20% of the risk. So really fits interestingly in this environment. And then finally, the first one we launched, Strategic Income Opportunity, SIO, is really our best idea fixed income portfolio from Fort Washington. I would put it in the multi-sector bond category or the core plus-plus category. So, you know, up to 50% can be in non-investment grade. It does have very specific guidelines on how much high yield or how much emerging market debt it can own. you know, Fort Washington manages a little bit over $50 billion in fixed income. So really a strength with Fort Washington Investment Advisors.
Rich, just a couple of minutes left. You mentioned the SPIVA scorecard that I covered last week. You were trying to get ahead of me here. You probably knew I was going to bring this topic up. But I do want to ask you, and I know this is a little bit of a cliche question around active management, but look, I know you're well aware of all the data that's out there showing how difficult it is for active managers to consistently generate outperformance. And you alluded to this earlier. I mean, I look at DVND and LCF. One thing that is clear on both of those, these are much higher active share, higher conviction strategies. DVND, that can hold between 40 and 55 companies. LCF between 25 and 45. So I think that gives listeners a really good feel that these aren't closet index funds. But is that really where the difference comes in? So if you have, you know, First Washington as a sub-advisor, these are higher conviction strategies. Is that what you think differentiates you from the market and gives you a shot at generating outperformance longer term? Because again, the data, we've all seen it. It is difficult to generate outperformance consistently over long periods of time.
No. I think this is the environment where folks are, expanding their opportunity set or product set to look, you know, all across, and looking at, you know, more, you know, active ETFs. In fact, I mean, you look at the first half of this year. Yes, still dominated on the equity side, still dominated by, you know, plain vanilla ETFs. But you're starting to see, you know, active ETFs gathering almost 15% of flows, through the first half of the year. So I think folks are looking for, you know, high active share, high conviction strategies that they can use to, again, either complement a little bit to what they're doing on the, you know, on the passive side, but really, you know, look for that demonstrated ability to outperform or protect a little bit more on the downside, especially with the volatility that we've seen this year.
Hey, Rich, before I let you go, what's next for Touchstone ETF? Should we expect more launches anytime soon? Obviously, you know, these four, you're off to a great start just in terms of, you know, you look at the assets in these products. What should we expect moving forward?
Well, listen, we're really excited to be in the ETF space. We're excited about these first four products. And we are talking to all of those sub-advisors that I mentioned about our ETF initiative. There's a lot of excitement, from the sub-advisors. But we're also looking at our entire product lineup and seeing where we do have gaps and thinking about perhaps when we launch a new product, whether it be in some of the categories that we've seen growth this year or over the past couple of years, like thematic, we're looking not only at the mutual fund wrapper, but also the ETF wrapper. So a lot of exciting things, and I think you'll hear more from us later this year or into 2023.
Well, Rich, greatly enjoy the conversation. Certainly wish you the best of luck with the ETF lineup. Thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate being on.
That was Rich Kerner, Senior ETF Sales Specialist at Touchstone Investments.